The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Everybody ready?
All good.
Awesome. Welcome to Footy Prime. It's a different crew today. It's the West Coast Footy Prime crew. Asa Rahman, Colin Miller, Craig Forrest, and myself, Wonger. If you're looking on YouTube, you know what's going on below me. Colin Miller's got for the podcast, Colin's got a tam with an orange wig. And he's got his full Scottish kit going. And I don't want to know what he's wearing underneath on the bottom half. Because he might be full leather jacket down there. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, Colin, I'm sure he is.
I'm Colin, not getting involved in that.
we've got Ryan Gauld coming up tomorrow, but today we're letting you rep Scotland. Tell us what it was like watching that team win the way they won. And then how does it feel going forward?
Well, there's never an easy way with Scotland, I can tell you. Never an easy way. So my friend Tom and I were in the basement watching the game. And, you know, as you can imagine, I mean, just the when the anthem was played, so they play the first verse of O Flower of Scotland with the bagpipe, the gentleman playing the bagpipe. And Hampden is packed. I mean, there's 2,500 Danish supporters there. 50,000 Scottish supporters there. So the first verse happens, and it's out of this world. I mean, a goosebumps there. But then the bagpipes stop, and now the crowd kick in, and it seems to go up 10 decibels after that. And I have goosebumps now talking about it. And I have to say, there's a tear in the old man's eye here listening to it. And it just summed up the pride of the country when it comes to football. Where we are at, the pressure that was there, it just everybody let it all go in one song. It was amazing, and that was the start of it. And then we score, I think it's 3 minutes into the game, with one of the best goals in Scottish football history. You know, it was just absolutely unbelievable, and great little play in the wide area, and the ball gets crossed in there, and McTominay. They said he was about 7'8" in the air or something like that. They did some crazy measurement, guys, and he looked the part. I mean, it was absolutely a fabulous goal. Great start, and then Denmark kicked in. And Denmark gave us a bit of a pasting for a long time during the course of the game. So it certainly wasn't all one-way traffic. But every time we scored, now, we live in a nice little townhouse complex here. The neighbors must have thought there was a mass murder going on. Here's two guys in their 60s going mental watching a game of football on the telly. And at the end of it, it was just amazing. My phone went into meltdown mode. It was just from all over, from Scotland, all sorts of things. Before you know it, you've got more pals than you can imagine wanting to come and stay in your house, and you'll experience it as well. in Toronto, who knows where Scotland's going to be based? But it was just such an amazing occasion for us, guys, and we couldn't have done it any more difficult. You know, we couldn't have made it any more difficult for us in the end. But the three of the four goals, I mean, Lauren Shanklin also scored a very, very valuable goal in extra time for us. But the goal at the death, and especially being a Rangers man, to score all four of them against the Celtic goalkeeper makes it even more sweeter. it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. It was a great ending, and the country is still bouncing, I can assure you.
Is there
like watching Brazil?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Those goals. I mean, if those goals are scored by a Brazilian, Craig, but they're raving about it. They're absolutely raving about them. And you know, we went for it, and it was good to see Scotland going for it, because at times we've been a wee bit passive in terms of how we attack. But goodness me, when the chips were down, the lads showed up, and you know, to be fair, Denmark were down to 10 men in the last 30 minutes. and still managed to get the equalizer just at extra time there. But what an occasion, guys. What an occasion. And, I mean, there's a great song that Scottish supporters sing, the Tartan Army, No Scotland, No Party. And I'm telling you, there'll be a party now wherever Scotland's based.
Mm-hmm. You know, people forget that, you know, that it's been, what, since 98, since they made a World Cup, right? And it's one of those things where if people know, they know. Like, it's if Scotland ended up in Canada, it's going to be the biggest party ever.
Oh, they'll have to. I mean, I've said here in different interviews and bits and pieces that I don't think North America realizes just exactly what's going to happen to it. I genuinely don't think that. I mean, sure, we speak about other sports and how passionate people are about other sports, but there is nothing comes remotely close to what will happen here. And I say that with the greatest respect to every other sport. There's the people have no idea what's going to happen here. Look at this 61-year-old sitting like a halfwit in front of you guys. It just shows you what happens to people.
Were you into the pints while you were watching that game? Just I want to know.
No, I wasn't. The Guinness was, it was just close enough to be far away, but I had to go to work. I had to be on my best behavior, Wonger. So it was, I can assure you, I will make up for it. The family's going to, my wife and I and Tom and Jillian are going to Mexico a week on Saturday. So I can assure you, we're meeting up with two Scottish couples.
Mexico doesn't know what it's going to be catching, does it?
It's just going to be a mini Tartan Army invasion there in over a week's time.
Is it an all-inclusive?
Oh, yes.
Okay, they're going to lose money that week. Yeah.
The drinks are on me, big man. The drinks are on me.
That's great.
Such a great week of football internationally, but football in Canada over the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
From the Blizzard Bowl, as I've been calling it. I don't know what they're calling it. Blizzard Bowl in Ottawa. CPL Championship. The NSL inaugural first year. Yeah. And the triumvirate, well, actually, I shouldn't even say that. I got to come up with a different word. I'll figure it out. But Canada beats Venezuela. Tied with Ecuador. One man down the whole game. And now, all of a sudden, we've got Vancouver Whitecaps, third time going in against LAFC. You know, there's so much going on with Sun and Bwanga. And then on the Whitecaps side, it's all of a sudden Mueller is back, or Mueller's playing. Gold is back. White is back. And Blackman, I think I want to hear from you guys where everybody stands on the injury, what we should expect. So I'm going to go to Asa first to give us the roundup, and then you guys can tell us what you're looking for.
Yeah, let's start with the injured players that are getting healthier now. Brian White looks really good from what I've seen. He's been involved in all the 11v11 scrimmages, games that I've seen in training over the last couple of weeks. Feels like he's good to go and potentially start in this match if needed. The other one is Tristan Blackman, another one who's looked very good at training. Looks like he's right back to his old ways in that center back spot. Be interesting to see who he's paired with because they've used so many different players over the last couple months in his absence, and everyone has stepped up. And they've got everyone available again. Matias Laborda could be an option there. Ralph Priso has been exceptionally great in that position. And then you've got Blaho Buni, who hasn't put a foot wrong either in that spot. So that'll be interesting to see. I do expect Tristan Blackman to start. So encouraging for the Vancouver Whitecaps fans going into this game. Ryan Gault, he mentioned this in the press conference midweek, and I know you guys talked to him, but anytime it kind of comes up that there's a chance, like, how are you feeling? How's the knee doing? How much are you expected to play? He always kind of goes back to this, whatever's needed, the 15, 20 minutes. And I feel like that's going to be his role here for the rest of the playoffs. And what a weapon that is, you know, to have this super sub in Ryan Gold potentially come in off the bench, because everyone else who's played in those front three, four positions has been exceptional as well. Obviously, Thomas Muller down the spine in that 10 position, but he can pop in anywhere. And then the wide players, Emmanuel Sabi, Ali Ahmed, been incredible. And I guess a bit of a silver lining that Ali Ahmed picked up that red card, came home early, got back to the Vancouver Whitecaps, and he's been in training all week as well. And then up top, Brian White or Ryan Alumi probably the options for the striking spots there for the Vancouver Whitecaps heading into that game. Really exciting match, and it's great to see that the Whitecaps are getting healthier and close to full fitness going into this game.
There must be an absolute buzz around Vancouver right now, right? Was their sold-out crowd is going to be very similar to what we saw against Miami earlier in the season. It must be exciting times around Vancouver.
So excited right now, Forrest. I'm going to quickly jump on this, Colin, just because I asked Thomas Muller about this in his press conference on Tuesday, just about the buzz in the city. And he had a great quote where he's just like, we want to keep this going. We want to keep the buzz, keep them buzzing, something to that effect. Like it was incredible. Always gets a laugh in the press conferences. And that's exactly it. I think for the first time since his arrival, we're really seeing the impact in the streets. Colin can talk to this in Abbotsford at the with the teams, with all the players. Social media as well, on Reddit, wherever you are, picking up on the nuances, seeing absolutely everything on the pitch, and you're feeling it. You're feeling that energy in the streets here in Vancouver.
Yeah, totally. As well summed up, Ace, as usual, Paul. As you know, guys, I'm the technical director of the Abbotsford Soccer Association, and I've got to say, I hardly come up to someone to speak to them without them bringing up the Vancouver Whitecaps and what is taking place here. The amount of people that are going to the game from Abbotsford. Now, you know, for me to get downtown is probably about an hour and a half's drive, an hour and 20 minutes drive. Mm-hmm. So, and you're talking a bit of a commitment to get down there to start away with. But that's been the case all season. Asa will back me up here. The Whitecaps deserve to be where they are. They've been playing some fabulous football all season long. And it's a very entertaining team to go and watch. And yes, we're getting to see Thomas Muller. We're getting to see Sun come for LAFC and Bwanga and so on and so forth. This game in a different world could be good enough to be a cup final. You know, there's one goal separates the two of them in terms of goals for. It shows you how tight the game is going to be, and it should be an absolute cracking game. I'm really, really excited, but the buzz about it is great to see. As I said earlier, guys, the conversations that are going on, people talking about it, that making arrangements to travel in as groups and so on and so forth. Wow, those are the days you want to see.
Are you noticing that, Colin, with the younger kids and really grasping it and understanding it and getting involved?
I am, Craig. And of course, in the past, I would have used Ryan Gold as the benchmark, not just in terms of the quality of Goldie, but as a DP, how hard he works. He defensively, he's sound. He does a great job. Same thing with Brian White. These guys are the sort of big ticket items for the Whitecaps, and seeing how well the guys play, like the Kubas of the world, the Bearhalters, they're my types of players. You know, Craig, they give you absolutely everything, but they're good football players as well. They're good football players. They're entertaining to watch. They never stop. And as a supporter, and Asa and I acted as supporters at times when we're on the broadcast, because we care about the game in Canada as well. But when you see a full stadium, or a in the earlier days, 20,000 people at a BC Place, seeing Kubas win a tackle, get up and win another tackle, and everybody applauding that, you can see that the crowd are right into it, and they know the effort that the players are making. So it's been from an Asa mentioned a couple of young lads that have been doing ever so well. It's just been an amazing squad effort this season to get us to this point.
You're going to be calling the game. It's in 2 days from now. What are you looking for, Colin, on both the a takeaway that you want people to look for? And then I'll go to Asa.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, these are two teams I think that are more comfortable going forward than they are at times defensively. So the takeaways. There's somebody's dog there going.
Go Scotland.
When you see, everybody's at it. Everybody's at it. But you get, let's use Thomas Muller as an example. So when I'm speaking to younger players and coaches as well here in the Abbotsford Soccer Association, I say to the people, look how hard he works, but watch how his head is always on a swivel. He's looking for little pockets of space all the time, and what an influence that would be with our younger players. You know, it's fantastic. So as a coach watching that, you're looking at it and go, wow, he didn't follow the ball there. He went in the opposite direction to create some space. And that's the points that I bring up to people that are going to watch the Whitecaps. So some of the takeaways, I want to see the way that the Whitecaps have attacked. Nothing changes for me this season. The wide midfield players, Sabi has been tremendous. It's so dangerous coming in from the right hand side. He scored a number of really good goals, created a number of really good goals. Ali Ahmed for me is just a breath of fresh air watching him play, because most fullbacks in the MLS, they don't know whether to tackle him or take him out for dinner. It's one of those things. And he's just been so good. You know, he's just been so good. And there have been times when the Whitecaps have been, you know, Daniel Rios hasn't hit the ground running for me, to be brutally honest. He's working hard. He's playing his part from the team point of view, guys. But he's missed some very good chances. But his goal, I was going to say last week, but it was 3 weeks ago, his header is a fabulous header. Great cross. I think it was Ali that crossed it in, if I'm not mistaken. Cut back on his right foot, cross it in. And there's still a lot to do, but the big fella strikes, he heads the ball like we expected all season long from him. So he comes into the mix, but Brian White will be the guy that the Whitecaps will go to on Saturday for obvious reasons. But in terms of LAFC, while you go through this team and you think if the Whitecaps go to sleep at any point, and just catching up on some of the highlights of LAFC, they're at their most dangerous when they're on that counter-attack and they're breaking forward with the pace and the quality of Sun and Mwanga. You know, we've got to be organized when we have the football. It'll be one of my keys on Saturday night, because the quality and how dangerous they are. But I'm just looking at two teams that are going to have a bash at each other. In a full house, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. And for me, when you're there, the 53,000 plus in attendance at BC Place, it's going to be awesome to watch. And wanted to answer your question, like what to look out for, what to notice in this game. Similar to what Colin Miller was mentioning about Thomas Muller on the attacking side and kind of finding that space on the offensive side. Colin's so great at pointing out in the booth, usually pointing as I'm commentating on something about the defensive discipline when the Whitecaps have possession and are attacking on one side of the field. And it's something that I, you know, never really pay attention to as I'm watching the buildup, and I love the attack. So I get very invested in where the runs are going, who's showing up where, but he's keeping an eye on how many players are back, who's accounting for Bwanga, who's accounting for Son as the play is building up on one side of the field. So that'd be something I think for fans in attendance in particular, if you're there, to maybe peek over and see how the Whitecaps are handling that, because as Colin mentioned, that counter game, that transition game is vital for LAFC. They're looking for that. So you can expect Son, Bwanga to kind of pop up in these areas as the Whitecaps might be attacking down the left side or the right side or through the middle. They'll start to lurk and trying to find areas in space on the attacking end to hit that quick counter. And that's up to, I guess, Kubas or Blackman to kind of pick up and figure out who's where, just to be aware of that quick pass, that quick counter. That's going to be something, I think, to keep an eye on in this game. Mm-hmm.
Is there a world where we see Ryan Goles start?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Asa here, Craig, because it's been such a serious injury for him. I think the media would have grasped a wee bit more had he been available to start. And he's actually, Asa will correct me if I'm wrong here, he's actually made a real significant impact for us when he's come on. You know, he's replacing someone who's put in a good shift, let's say for an hour, and really worked for the team, whoever that player would have been. And then you bring on Goldie, and it lifts the team again. So it's not as if it's even this way. It's a substitution that any club in the MLS would love to have Ryan Gold on their team. There's not one. I can't imagine one team that wouldn't want him there. So that's what we have. But there's also two or three others. You've got Jaden Nelson, who's another one who can come off the bench and change the game for you. Young Ryan Alumi that Asa mentioned earlier, this kid is going to be a player. I mean, he's a handful to play against. And does everything simple. You can see on field the influence that Thomas Müller has had mm-hmm. on Ryan Alumi, because you can see him interacting with him right away, you know, and Müller seems to be very, very positive, encouraging him to do the right things all the time and keep it simple. It's just been, as I said earlier, guys, it's been a really, really top-class squad performance this season.
Yeah, and to add to that, Craig, I think this also has a lot to do with who's played in Gold's absence and how they've performed. Yeah. I think if it was a situation where they were struggling in those areas, maybe he does start. I think maybe you take that a little bit more seriously, and you know, how ready is he to give you 60, 70 minutes starting this game? But because Ali Ahmed's performed at such a high level, because Emmanuel Sabi has bagged goals at ease this season, you feel pretty confident, pretty good about those two in particular. But you've had some great performances in those wide areas. I think Kenji Cabrera has been incredible as well off the bench. Just talk about some of the players that have stepped up this season. So I think that's what it comes down to. And then you're right, Colin, you have this super sub off the bench that would be terrifying for defenders to see. Ryan Gold coming in with 20, 30 minutes to go after you've dealt with Ali or Sabi in those wide areas. And I think that that's probably the X factor in this game.
I want to talk about goalkeeping because our friend Asa Rahman has been very busy this week, writing an article on Global BC's website. Asa, you did a breakdown of Takeoka, and what did you take away from that? Because it made it sound like, hey man, someone's wrong, and I watched all the goals. And tell me about the premise of your article where you're pointing out someone's flaws and then you fix them on it.
No one in particular. I just feel like it's downplayed because Colin and I will watch Yohei Takeoka in the buildup, in possession, moving the ball from left to right, picking these passes down the middle of the park that are just sublime. Like, it's rare. I think that we get spoiled by it because most keepers can't do what he does, and he's so comfortable and calm in the ball. I don't think he's had any of these. He doesn't miss a pass, honestly. He's probably 90% out of the pack. And there are moments in these games, Colin, where we're watching it, we're calling it, and it's either a near goal, it leads to a penalty, and he won't get credit for the buildup because it was six or seven passes ago. But I think for most other teams, most other keepers, you know, the keeper's put under pressure and you just get it out. You just play it safe. You just knock it away. Instead, he's able to kind of hit this quick diagonal or just, you know, two touch it out to the other side. And it's a quick transition and it looks like a nothing pass. But I think Colin and I are watching this saying, like, this whole buildup doesn't happen if he doesn't move it quickly or if he doesn't hit that penetrating pass that breaks lines. It caught my eye, and every time I bring it up, people will be like, oh yeah, he's pretty good with his feet. And I'm like, no, I don't think we're really appreciating how great he is. So I watched back every single goal, tried to figure out, because it's not a stat that's recorded, but just how many times the Whitecaps had a goal that had him involved in the buildup, whether it's just a little pass or an early pass over the top, but he just kept the Caps in possession. And 13 times he was involved in some way in the buildup for a Whitecaps goal this season, which I think is incredible. And I think there are a lot of chances that, you know, didn't end up a goal that were because of his buildup as well. And I didn't watch all of those back, but I guess that's the next assignment. Needless to say, I think he's the best that I've seen with the ball at his feet as a goalkeeper.
I appreciate that from a goalkeeper, former goalkeeper. I do. I really do. He's kind of an unsung hero, isn't he? He really is. And we talk about a lot about, the offensive side of the Vancouver Whitecaps and what they offer. But from a goalkeeping point of view, he's been solid.
Yeah. And Craig, sorry, just one quick question I want to ask for. Like, isn't that, I guess, the first, probably most important thing for a goalkeeper is not necessarily facing the shot, but just having to not face as many shots? And I think he does that as well as anyone else by keeping possession, keeping everyone organized, and by not giving the ball away in the defensive third or not putting defenders under pressure, you don't have these turnovers where then he's facing a quick counter. And I think that's one thing that gets over, because he's not making 10 saves a game. But I think that he is a big part of that. The fact that, you know, he's not facing as many shots because he keeps everyone organized.
Yeah, I think he's I totally agree with Asa that with the ball at his feet, he's like an 11th outfield player, to be honest with you. I think you could put him as an outfield player in training and stuff, and he wouldn't look out of place. He's so comfortable with both feet. And I just think it's his range of passing, the amount of times Asa and I have mentioned where the opposition's back four, back three have set up, and he's hitting over the top of that because they haven't got a grip to grips with the distance and the accuracy that Yohei can play that pass. Where I, and I shouldn't be saying this in case LAFC are listening, where I think is his biggest downfall is crosses. You know, he's not the best with, you know, when he's under a bit of pressure, Craig, you know, that when you, when, and I can say this wholeheartedly here, when Craig shouted for a ball, we knew it was sticking. We knew the big man, 6 feet five, goodness me. When he shouted.
He would say 6 foot six, Colin, just so you know.
6'6", yeah. He's getting taller as he's getting older.
That's right. That's right.
When the big man shouted for it, and I'm just not, I think he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league, Yohei. Don't get me wrong, guys. But if I was to criticize him slightly, it would be his consistency coming for crosses. He has spilled a couple. There's been times when he's been under pressure where he hasn't looked really comfortable in those sort of situations. But right foot, left foot, anything played back to him. And having, as a defender, having the confidence to be able to play a goalkeeper back with a pass is great because it's an outlet for you. But what I really like about him when he's in possession, very, very seldom as the goalkeeper, is he passing the ball to a teammate to put him under pressure. He's not saying, here, I'm finished with it, you deal with it now. His football intellect is so high that he's playing a pass that is going to start an attack or going to get us out of pressure. So, and I think there's a big difference there. You see some goalkeepers who get it, go, oh, wait, what am I going to do? I'm going to give it to you. And before you know it, that defender's getting tackled. So I just think his overall awareness, I mean, Asa and I watch him before every game. He's out and he just walks up. He's got his headset in or whatever, and he's walking up and down his 18-yard box, just in his own world for what, 10, 15 minutes, Asa? He's in that 18-yard box. I just think amazing, but very, very focused, a very, very professional goalkeeper.
Yeah.
LAFC, we already talked about counterattack, Buanga and Sun. What do you see their weakness being if you had to advise Jesper Sorensen, who you don't have to, but what's he looking at on at that club right now? Because 2 years straight, playoff losses, and like you said, putting goals up as soon as these two were paired, they become a, you know, a super couple. And they got to come up with a rom-com name for them, right? Like the two of them. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'll figure it out. Suwanga. So, anyways.
Colin. Scottish?
Yeah, I don't know. What are you looking at, Colin?
Yeah, I mean, I know Ryan Porteous very well because obviously he's played in Scotland. He played for Hibernian for a long time. I was actually hoping that he would sign for Rangers at one point. Mm-hmm. But with Ryan, there is a yellow card and there could be a potential red card in him because he has that tenacity to win the football. And I think if we put him under pressure, you know, he may not fancy that very much. With Ryan Hollingshead at left back here, he's really, really good going forward. And I'm really interested to see Emmanuel Sabi, if it is Sabi, taking Hollingshead on. Now, Hollingshead, I think, is more comfortable, as I said, going forward. The other side is Palencia, who's been very, very consistent for LAFC, wants to join in as well. So they're always on that front foot attacking-wise. But I think Segura will come in. Well, sorry, Tafari is the one that I would expect to come in. Segura didn't look too clever in the last game there with a header, I think it was, where it led to a goal. It was a poor clearance. But I expect Tafari, if he's fit, to come back in at centre-back. But in behind that, there's also a world-class goalkeeper in Hugo Lloris, And he'll come up with the big save when he needs it. And I say that a goalkeeper is worth or costs you 12 points a season. I think that you know, and that's been the case. That all of a sudden we've been raving about how the Whitecaps have played, but then we'll refer back to a save that Yohe has made down to his right hand side that at 2-1, that would have been an equaliser or something like that. So the role that Hugo Lloris has played for LAFC, I've seen him make some very, very good saves in the build up to this one. So, but I do expect that defensively, if we can put them under pressure really quickly, and knowing Jesper Sorensen, as Ace and I do, he wants to press as high as he possibly can. We don't have to deal with heat and humidity or anything like that on Saturday night. Full mm-hmm. house. I would expect the Whitecaps to be going for the jugular right from the outset.
Ace? Oh, your microphone left us. I don't know what's going on. There, you might be back. There you go.
I was sorry, guys. I was sweating like an old fat guy.
No. Now you, sorry, Ace, so we can't hear you. You check your mic. No, it's all right. Craig, tell me about Lloris a little bit right now.
Well, I mean, we all know what he's capable of, and he's still doing it and performing really well at a high level at his age. He's been around, and obviously that confidence that he's going to give them defensively is a big plus for Los Angeles. At the same time, I still think we have enough to deal with that. And if there was one worry for me is that straight ball when they're pressing, if they do get out LA, a straight ball that gets a team in. We've seen that against Vancouver a number of times. I just hope we don't see it on the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been fans of the Whitecaps, and you guys, you know, you're not unbiased. You are homers. And I think everyone appreciates that, especially when Asa Rahman gets part of the ticket sales and making sure that people show up. The 53,000, I know we're going to talk a lot more about Apple and MLS, Don Garber. I want to have a big conversation about that another show, but final words other than Asa's Takeoke fan club and analysis, any MLS team could reach out to Asa. And Colin, probably, I hope you didn't jinx us by telling us how to beat the Whitecaps. That's because we just heard that. Yeah. But give us a parting words for this big match on Saturday. Asa, you go first, and Colin. And Asa, your mic's still not working. Check your little, check the little thing there. I'm going to, you know, the little, what you call it? Sorry if you're listening on the podcast.
Come in and out.
Yeah, there we go. Come in and out.
Yeah.
Colin,
He's a techie in the group as well. What chance would I have my microphone? I'd have to throw my laptop out the window or something like that.
Yeah. Have to phone up your kids.
Oh, yeah, I do, actually. I torment the life out of them. Dad, I've told you this 10 times. Well, this one will make 11.
Well, you've already talked about the vibe going on in Vancouver. What does it look like? What does a win look like? Meaning, at the end of the match, what has Vancouver done right if they've won?
Well, I'll tell you, Wonger, I think it's the approach of the manager. He hasn't wavered in any game this season. He hasn't sat back and hoped for the best. His attitude has been so positive. And I asked him, what are the non-negotiables for when you select a player to go across the white line? And one of them that stood out, sure, attitude and so on, that was all a no-brainer for him. But he wanted the players to be brave. And I think that for me is very, very important. Even at the grassroots level, you want players, boys and girls, to get the ball and not be afraid to make a mistake. He is, Jesper Sorensen, is encouraging to the players to press high, to win it high. Can we score? Can we keep being relentless in the pressure when we have it? Can we play good football? So it's been a case of winning the ball as far up the field as they can, the Whitecaps, but also playing some really, really good entertaining football this season. It's been really good. And I don't expect them to change one iota on Saturday night. I expect them right from the kickoff to go and press. And sure, some games, in every game, you need to have a bit of luck. You can dominate for 89 minutes, a team breaks up the park and scores, and you think, how in the world did we lose there or draw there? But I think this is going to be a cracker. I think both teams are really hell-bent in making it very, very entertaining. It's win or go home, isn't it, really, to be honest with you? I do not expect to see one change in the approach from the Vancouver Whitecaps that we have seen in every game this season. And sure, we haven't won always. We haven't always been great. But the attitude to win the game, that's been the key right from the start.
We're throwing to Asa good. One more time. We're going to see
you got it
happens.
Now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You're back.
We're back.
You're back.
Okay, good.
did you hear my question?
I think, last little takeaway, I guess, heading into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, what does it look like with the Whitecaps? Had they won or if they win, what's it look like?
Oh, if they win, I mean, it's going to be a celebration here. Probably as big as Colin's celebration after Scotland made it to the World Cup. But I don't know if it's going to reach that level. It's going to be quite the party, though. You're going to have, we've talked about it, over 53,000 in attendance. You can feel the buzz already. I think I'm expecting to see fans at training as well leading up to this game over the next couple of days here. And then the day, Saturday as well, we're going to be on Global's morning show, Colin and I. We're looking to do a little extra pregame that Colin doesn't even know about yet, but in the booth just before our pregame show starts on CKNW, we're looking to do a live stream with the Vancouver Whitecaps. So soak it all up, get there early, enjoy the occasion, make a day of it, kick off just after 6:30. And then, if it's a win, the party keeps going. You got Sunday to recover. For me, I'll probably need a couple days if it's a good, solid win. So, hoping for the absolute best. And what an occasion. This is the matchup we all wanted. Can't believe it's finally here.
Okay,
when do you come on air?
Yeah, promo us out. Where can we find you on the weekend overall? Give us your full Asa Rahman and Colin Miller promo.
Gosh, Global BC 9:40 Saturday morning. Then our pregame show 5:30, looking to get that on the Whitecaps YouTube channel. And then 6 o'clock on 7:30 CKNW, also CKNW.com. And right through kickoff, halftime, postgame, it's all going to be on 7:30 CKNW. I think that covers it. I'll probably have a few more visits, podcasts. I'm sure Colin's got a few of those. The requests keep coming in, and it's been great. Loving it.
Yeah. Amazing. Exciting stuff, guys.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Asa and Colin. And this is, if you put your cap back on, Colin, can you help me out here?
Yes, I can.
This is who you reminded me of. Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons. So from the greatest import ever from Scotland, Colin Miller, Asa Rahman, thanks for joining us on Footy Prime. Craig and I are looking forward to the match tomorrow, or Saturday, and we are homers too. We're cheering for the Whitecaps, so go Caps.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Thanks
fellas.